Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, December 7th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Oh, it's great to be back. I want to thank everyone for...
For what?
For covering for me. I needed a little bit of R&R, and it was great to have a little R&R. And, hey, whenever I go away, gold prices rise. I'm back and gold's down. So everyone needs to call Discount Gold and Silver, make your purchases so I can go away again. And that way we'll have gold prices rise once again. So anyway, it sounds like a pretty good plan to me.
You're just looking for an extended vacation.
No, I just need a little R&R, and that I did get. And gold today did had a little bit of R&R today. Took back some of its gains from Friday, down $1,390 at $1,073. Silver down 29 at $1,435. Platinum is down 27 at $855. And palladium is down 16 at 553. So the USDX today is positive 0.45 at 98.69, beating in crude oil. Holy smokes, down 2.21 at 37.76. That's an incredible drop. And you have paper markets today. They were positive early morning, and they reversed themselves. Not by much. It's no big deal. 116 points, 17,730 on the Dow. The NASDAQ was down 40 at 5101. S&P down 14 at 2077. You have the 10-year yield, 2.22%, down 0.05. I thought I saw when I was gone last week that it was as high as 2.36. So had a big, pretty big drop there since just last week, as I do follow the markets even though I am gone. And I still work even though I am gone. Very rarely do I ever have a true R&R. Japan, Hong Kong, you know, I heard stories, oh, the Asian markets loved our job reports from Friday. Their markets were soaring. Big deal. Japan was up almost 1%. Germany was up 1.25%, but Hong Kong was basically unchanged. So I didn't see a lot of huge reaction in those areas due to our jobs report from Friday. So I'm assuming you talked about the jobs report on Friday, Al.
I'm assuming that too, Melody.
But there was a report out today. The U.S. consumers borrowed more heavily for auto and student loans in October. This was released today by the Federal Reserve. They said that consumer borrowing rose $16 billion in October to $3.5 trillion. However, in September, there was an increase of 28.5. So we see this, the pace of borrowing is dropping sharply from the 28.5 billion increase in September to the 16 billion in October. That's a big drop. Nearly all of the October gains came from the category that covers auto and student loans, while credit card borrowing edged up a mere 200 million. And this report, the Federal Reserve says that it suggests that more Americans are relying on debt to improve their educational skills and upgrade their cars and trucks. So I think that would tell you if, you know, the biggest gains it was student loans and autos, that's exactly what the Americans are doing. How else are they going to be buying $30,000 vehicles and, $100,000 education tuition? So, but they're still looking for a good Christmas. They're still looking for a better spending for the rest of 2015. So,
well, what does it mean when they borrow more money, Melody? Does it mean, there's two ways of looking at it, and they're probably both true to some extent, depending on the individual. But does it mean people are more optimistic and therefore willing to borrow? Or does it mean they're squeezed tighter and tighter and forced to borrow? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Is the glass half empty or is it half full?
Well, I think the consumer, when they're buying automobiles because of the price of gasoline is down and so forth, that does make them a little bit more optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think in the tuition area, I don't think it's a matter of whether they're optimistic for the future or whatnot. So, to some degree, it is because they expect to get jobs, but.
Well, if you can't get jobs, you can get tuition to go to college. I mean, for a lot of people, what sends them to college is they don't have a job.
That's correct.
And if they can borrow the money, again, is this a cause for optimism or does it reflect the fact that they can't find jobs? Can't find a job, so I guess I'll go to college.
And I think, too, here in...
Don't go to college to get a job. You go to college to substitute for having a job.
I think also, too, I guess I need another day of R&R. I guess I need another day. You said something and... You know.
Oh, blame me. Blame me, Melody. You're supposed to blame Frank. He's the producer.
No, no.
He's blamed for everything that goes wrong around her.
I never blame Frank. But anyway, I don't think this is, very much... I wouldn't read optimism in here, particularly when you see that the pace of borrowing dropping from $28 billion to $16 billion. And this is America. Consumers spend. If they can get credit and buy a car, they're going to do it. If they can get credit to go to school, they're going to do it. If they can get credit to do whatever they need to buy a home, they're going to do it. So,
they're just like the government.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Nobody produces anything anymore. We just live on credit.
Also today, House Speaker Ryan, he says that they're having a difficult time wrapping up the budget. Their tax talks are going very slowly, and they could actually miss its Friday deadline of the $1.1 trillion spending bill. And I don't know if that would actually shut down the government or not. Certainly, I don't ever see them. It's holiday season, Christmas season, and I suspect they'll get it done before the 11th. But so they're working on that, and to make sure everybody gets paid.
And, well, that's the important part. Mm-hmm. It's not really important whether they do it to help this country or protect our rights, but it is important that they get paid.
You know what? Really, what's frustrating is you have all these Republicans who are out there talking bad about the Planned Parenthood, and we know that this budget was passed in the middle of the night with Obama and everything, and these were taken out in order to do so. But Republicans have dropped the riders that would block implementation of the Affordable Care Act and strip the federal funding from Planned Parenthood.
Well, that's what the Republicans are there for, apparently, is to give us the illusion that somebody's resisting the New World Order and or the move to the left. And they talk about resisting it, and then when they actually get down to it, they don't.
The underlying spending bill gives generous increases to the Department of Justice, Homeland Security, Veterans Affairs, a budget increase for NASA, and the Republicans insisted on curbing the budgets of the environmental, the EPA, and the IRS.
Well, if they're curbing the budget with of the IRS, I can't say I'm completely distraught.
But so, yes, they do face a deadline to avoid a government shutdown, but I'm sure they'll just find some sort of a short-term funding, and just in case they don't make it by December 11th to fund the government. And something else that came out I thought was interesting, the largest destroyer built for the Navy, that departed its shipbuilder. It left the shipbuilders. It's going to navigate and reach the open ocean, where it's going to undergo some sea trials. More than 200 shipbuilders, sailors, and residents gathered to watch this futuristic, it's a 600-foot, 15,000-ton USS Zumwalt. And I actually looked it up, and it really is kind of a neat-looking boat, and it's the first of three ships in this class. It's going to cost about $4.4 billion. They actually wanted to have 32 of them, but they scrapped the 32 and they're because of the cost, and they're going to get three of them, the Navy. So it's an interesting-looking ship, but it cuts the crew from like 300 to 150, and if necessary, they would really only need about 40 crewmen in order to run the boat. So they got this thing to where they have this stealthy design to reduce its radar signature to where on the blimp of radar it'll just look like a small fishing boat. So yeah, look up a picture of it. It looks pretty cool. But
how long did you say it was?
600 foot.
600 feet.
615 ton.
No, it's 615 tons.
No, 600. It's 600 foot, 15,000 ton.
15,000 tons. Okay, 15, so not 15 tons. I understand.
15,000 tons.
Mm-hmm. Twice as long as a football field.
Very
I guess
narrow.
That's entirely, you know, that's not unreasonable. They claim it's a destroyer. Is that what they say?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
The largest destroyer built.
I wonder, you know, there are people that are looking at a lot of what a military technology in the Navy, a Navy technology, and they're saying this is, they're making mistakes. They're making too many big boats, big ships, and not enough small ones. And the reason they say that is because there are missiles that can take these large ships out, right? They are vulnerable to high-tech missiles, and they become extraordinary targets when they're out there 600 feet long and the rest of this sort of thing. And the same thing is true with What am I trying to say? I can't think. Once again, see, you got some R&R. I didn't get any. Now I can't. Aircraft carriers.
Sure.
Aircraft carriers. And there's a point to this. We're putting all our eggs in big, big baskets. And I don't know that that's a good idea, and it would have a devastating effect. Well, it would have a debilitating effect on American psyche, psychology, whatever, if one or two of our major naval ships were sunk. It might be better off to have a fleet of smaller ships rather than a handful of monster ships. We'll watch and see, but it really does make you wonder. Those missiles are just so incredibly powerful and comparatively inexpensive that big ships become a big liability, a big target. We'll watch and see how that works out. Speaking of which, we've got wars and rumors of war. The phrase is in Matthew 24:6 and in Mark 13:7, where they're warning that in end times there'll be wars and rumors of wars, but that's just the early part of end times. It's not the end of it. And here's an article from something called thetotalcollapse.com. Headline is, Putin orders military to cross Turkey red line, prepare to sink NATO warships. A foreboding Ministry of Defense report circulating in the Kremlin today states that President Putin has ordered Federation military forces to cross Turkish President Recep Erdogan's red line by assisting Syrian Kurds and defeating ISIS, and has further authorized immediate sinking of the NATO warships that have just entered the Black Sea should they near Russia's territorial borders. According to the report, President Erdogan's red line regarding the Kurdish peoples in Syria was drawn by him last past February when he stated, "We will never allow the establishment of a Kurdish state in Syria's north and our south. We will continue to fight in this regard no matter what it costs." Well, you see, if it's true that Putin is getting ready to sink NATO warships and also ordering his military to cross Turkey's red line, you know, this qualifies for wars and rumors of wars, and it's in keeping with the conversation about the Zumwalt destroyer. There's another article here from Business Insider. The headline is, China just flew long-range bombers deep into the Pacific and is sending a message about what its military can do. And this article says the Chinese military H-6 bomber flies between Okinawa Prefecture's main island and the smaller Makawa Island in southern Japan out over the Pacific. This is according to the Japanese Self-Defense Force. The East China Sea is one of the most potentially volatile flashpoints in East Asia. Beijing is flying. They're sending a notice that they can send airplanes from the homeland, from China mainland, out to Japan, on down into the South China Sea, and they are signaling, apparently, that watch out for us, we're big, powerful, and dangerous. Well, you keep on doing this, and somebody's going to do something stupid. You can just about bet on it, and when it's all over, we...
I lost Al. Well, we're about ready to go to break, so we will, and we'll try to reconnect with Al. We'll be right back.
have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the3w's.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We just had some sort of a communication snafu. What we had here was failure to communicate, but it apparently happened all during the commercial, so no problem. So what's next, Melody?
Well, you know, prior to the break, you were talking about wars and rumors and wars, and you were talking about Russia, and I just wanted to bring in this today. You have the European Union and Ukraine. They're saying that they're going to introduce a free trade pact next month as planned, despite Russia's threat to take action if Russia's concerns weren't addressed. And the Ukraine prime minister said, this agreement will enter force on January 1st, and this agreement is in the interest of the European Union and Ukraine. So Russia has a list of changes it wants based on their concerns that this agreement is going to interfere with Russia's Ukraine trade. So this goes into PAC. Again, here's another situation. Russia's already said that they will take, some sort of action, trade action, if their concerns are met. But again, something that is igniting possibilities of more than just, again, wars and rumors of wars. And, you know, with Russia getting hit on all sides and so forth. And so just wanted to include that to...
No, I understand. Yeah. And the reason for all of this, they can point to 100 different reasons and claim to have been insulted and people cross territorial borders and all kinds of things. Hey, the real problem is people get testy when they're going broke. All right? And what we have are nations that are going broke right now. Mm-hmm. And as a result, they are angry and frustrated and bewildered and they're ready to fight somebody and they're not too particular about who it may be, in part because they need to keep, most governments are constantly deceiving their own people. And although the U.S. government would tell you otherwise, the principal enemy of the government of the United States are the people of the United States. And that's not just a statement for the United States, it's a statement for every government on earth. They are constantly pointing to the foreigners and saying, oh, look at those bad guys over there. And they can do that, and they deceive their own people into cooperating with the governments. But the truth is, you know, we can talk about how much trouble we get out of the Middle East, for example, and the Muslims or the Iraqis or the Pakistanis or whatever, or ISIS. But none of those have ever taken any rights away from me. None of them have ever taken any of my money. All right? The only people that are working at taking my rights away are the government of the United States. The only people that are trying to tax me into poverty are the government of the United States. And saying so is exactly why, and this isn't a new idea, this is the reason why the government, the founding fathers, drafted the Constitution of the United States. It was designed to protect us from the federal government. They recognized it would always be a big threat to liberty and freedom. They weren't worried about what the people did in Canada, Mexico, Europe, Russia, Africa, wherever. That was no big deal. We can handle that. It's the people in Washington, and the Constitution was designed to protect us from the people in Washington, D.C. That's what it's all about. And people forgot that.
I don't think they could also foresee the technology advancements, the advancements in technology to where the world, you know, would be, where there is such a huge push for globalism, for, you know, the stripping of
everyone's rights.
Yeah,
but who's making
rights.
The push? Well, who's making the push besides...
The elites.
I get that. It's not the American people. That Constitution.
Well, the American people want it because they want all the cheap. They want all the cheap trinkets from China.
Well,
so
they
and then they
want
to be able to buy.
Well, yeah, but where's their jobs?
They don't stop.
That's what they want, and that's what they need. And insofar as our government, in its infinite wisdom, has shipped jobs and industries to China and other third world countries, and now technology is here. Besides that, to create robots to take jobs away. There are problems that, at least in spirit, the Constitution was designed to. They said, look, watch out for these people. They're going to try to get all they can for themselves and say, to heck with you people. And here was a Constitution that said, if you complain about them taking too much, here is the way you can do this. That was what the Constitution was designed for. And we've had government after government, administration after administration have just said, no, we're the government and we're so special, we need to take a little more money, a little more of your freedom in order to keep you safe. That's the fundamental argument, and it's all a bunch of nonsense. They're not keeping us safe. You know, we had a report, this goes into the issue of gun control, where The Economist, the English well-respected publication, The Economist, they published an article in the last couple of weeks. Washington, I think it was the Examiner, maybe it was the Washington Times. I don't have it right in front of me, but they commented on the the article from The Economist. The Economist pointed out that the number of guns in the United States has doubled since about 1993. And during the course of the Obama administration, the number of the annual sales have risen from 7 million per year to about 14, 16 million per year. They have more than doubled. The annual sales have more than doubled during the Obama administration. And that's got to be galling to, that's got to be galling after all of his efforts to try to strip us of our guns. He's played a big part in doubling the number of guns we have in this country. Now, one of the things that's inspiring is that according to The Economist, at the same time the number of guns doubled in this country, the number of deaths that were attributed to guns, the number of murders that were attributed to guns, were cut in half. And the point is, the evidence is apparently clear that more guns actually create more safety. And while the government is saying, oh, we're going to take your guns away so you'll be safe, you know, we look at this business in San Bernardino, where now, what, 16 people have died? I think I heard that today, 16. They thought it was 14 originally. Perhaps they've had a couple more deaths. 16 people or more killed. They didn't die because gun control laws are weak. They didn't die because the shooters had guns. That's not what killed them. They died because they didn't have guns. They died because most of the people that were wounded, most of the people that were killed, were law-abiding Americans. They understood the government's rhetoric, contrary to owning and carrying guns. They said, oh, that must be true. They believed it. They regarded the restrictions on gun ownership and gun possession as being too onerous to bother with, and therefore they didn't have any guns. And that's what got them killed. They didn't die because the terrorists had guns. They died because they didn't have guns. If they had walked, if the terrorists had walked into that alleged party, and they knew that 5 or 10 of the people at the party were armed with 9mm pistols or 45 caliber automatics, would the terrorists have dared to go into that party? Right, 2 of them against 5 or 10 that are armed? Those aren't good odds. Even though the terrorists are packing semi-automatic rifles, those are not good odds. You get a dozen people shooting at you at the same time, and chances are you won't be home for dinner. The point, and the evidence is there, even though the public doesn't get this, even though the evidence is perhaps counterintuitive, the evidence is clear that the more guns we have, the less gun fatalities we have. All right? And it's something to bear in mind. When government says they're here to help you, if they really wanted to help you, they would make sure that you were armed rather than disarmed and defenseless.
What I don't understand is, why isn't anyone using Paris as the example? I mean, everybody talks about, oh, California is, you know, the biggest gun control state, one of them. I think Maryland is worse, or maybe even New York. But, you know, they do ban, you know, the AR and so forth. But so it's supposed to be a big, you know, anti-gun state. Why don't people also use what happened in Paris? I mean, here you have, you know, how many more times people, very, I mean, you do not own a weapon in Paris. And all they have to do, all these criminals, all they have to do is go to the suburbs. They only have to go to a different country, just the suburb of Paris, and get whatever weapon they want just by having enough money. That's all you need is money. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that is, to me, that's a huge example, but you just don't hear anybody talking about, you know,
it's not, it's not the government's, it's not consistent with the government's propaganda to bring up that sort of argument or observation. The government wants the guns removed.
And we've
told you a bunch of times. I understand. And the government wants the guns removed because, again, I've talked about it a number of times on the program, but the preamble to the Bill of Rights makes clear And you can look this up. Very few people see the document or have heard of the document, but there is a document that has acquired the name Preamble to the Bill of Rights. You can look it up on Google, Preamble to Bill of Rights. Find it. And it will tell you, this is the cover letter that Congress sent out with the first 13 or 17 proposed amendments. Those amendments, 10 of them were ratified by the states, and they became our Bill of Rights. Congress said, here is the purpose. The purpose is to prevent misconstruction or abuse of the powers of the Constitution. They said that. This is Congress, not me talking. Congress, how do you prevent misconstruction or abuse? First off, before we even talk about who, how do you prevent misconstruction or abuse of the powers of the Constitution, who has powers under the Constitution? I don't. And neither do most of you. The ones who have powers under the Constitution are president, vice president, senators, congressmen, federal Supreme Court judges, federal court judges, bureaucrats operating the various bureaucratic agencies, federal employees. The purpose of the Bill of Rights was to prevent misconstruction or abuse of the powers of the Constitution. It says so. The Founding Fathers wrote this back in, 1789. How can you use the Second Amendment to prevent power, to prevent misconstruction or abuse of the powers of the Constitution? And the answer is that there's only one answer. And that's to shoot the SOBs if they get too far out of line. It is not a license to kill. It's not a license to go start shooting people who don't. But it is a the ultimate backbone. Said, all right, if this government becomes occupied by a bunch of treasonous whores, here's what you do. Look, see item number 2 on the Bill of Rights. Lock and load. It is intended to protect us, our last line of defense against a treasonous government. And that's what we have. And they want to commit more treason, and they feel a little uncomfortable about it because they're afraid that they'll get shot. And they say, we don't want to get shot, so let's disarm these people before they actually wake up and understand what's happening and shoot us. That's why government wants, that's why the federal government in particular wants more gun regulation. They are the intended targets of the Second Amendment. And that's not me saying that per se. That's what the clear implication of the preamble to the Bill of Rights. Look it up. You'll find it. It'll be at a .gov website. It's not at somebody's, you know, and it's not at a tinfoilhat.com. Government knows this. They want gun control to protect themselves. And they'll use any pretext they can find. Oh, we got to protect the people. They don't give a damn about the American people, except insofar as they see us as adversaries that must be controlled or deceived or whatever. Help us? I doubt that you can point to significant help that's been provided by the federal government for the vast majority of the American people. They go after, they'll support special interests. But the general welfare, which is what's called for in the preamble to the Constitution itself, they provide general welfare to everyone, make it good for everyone, or they say, let's take money from this group and give it to that group. That's not general welfare. That's special interests. Now, in any case, the government's reason to abandon the Bill of Rights, get rid of the right to keep and bear arms, is completely self-serving. It has nothing to do with American safety. Again, the Economist makes clear, at the same time, gun sales have doubled, and again, the number of guns have doubled over the last 25 years or thereabouts. The number of deaths by firearms have been reduced by half. The safest thing you can do is own a firearm. Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future, The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. The program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just want to remind the listeners to give us a call and to go to our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to our programs archived there on a daily and longer-term access. So, and we got great prices on all of our product. And we have some quarter-ounce American Gold Eagles for $299. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. And we're going to go to, I believe, Jim from West Virginia is holding on the line for us. But prior to the program, Al and I was talking about an email that was being sent around by Harry Dent. And we're going to be discussing that at a little more detail either tomorrow or Wednesday's program. So make sure you tune in because, you know, he certainly does not like gold. And so we're going to discuss that and bring you a little bit better understanding of what we believe is going to be happening in the gold market. And I do believe Harry Dent is wrong. Even if you Google him and you go to Wikipedia and you look at all his predictions, I think of all his predictions, he has one right. And that was in 2008, and everybody was right. So, but anyway, we'll talk about that later. Let's go to Jim from West Virginia. Good afternoon, Jim.
Oh, good afternoon. Yeah, I've been chipping in a lot recently because, you know, if you weren't around to torture Alfred, I figured I'd do it. Anyway.
No, I welcome the comments from everyone. Equal opportunity that way, Jim.
He lets you talk, though, Jim. He lets you
talk.
Well,
I missed that, okay. Well, my mother said, you know, don't discriminate against everybody, just hate everybody. That's easier, but at any rate. Now, all jokes aside, spot on with everything. Alfred, you said the governments blame external enemies. Spot on.
Yep.
They've been doing that since Julius Caesar. Now, I'd like to offer this to you. They blame either A, external enemies, or B, the people they govern. Okay, all throughout history, this is the way it is. I'm going to offer up six words with which you can analyze many, many relationships. Control, power, and privilege on one side of the scale. Responsibility, liability, and accountability on the other. If you own something, you have control, power, and privilege over it. And you're also held responsible, liable, and accountable for what you do with it. Criminals take control, power, and privilege over anything they can get their hands on, whilst absolving themselves of all responsibility, liability, and accountability except that which the courts mete out to them. Governments take control, power, and privilege over everything that we let them, whilst absolving themselves of all responsibility, liability, and accountability except that which we mete out to them. Now, I'm bleep sick and tired of government blaming everybody but themselves for all of their mistakes. It's about time that we, the American people, get educated and understand there's very little difference between government and mob. Government's main control mechanisms are kill, steal, destroy, kidnap, and enslave. They don't make refrigerators or locomotives or cars or anything. They're into control. Now, you got to understand, you got to yank it back from them. On a positive note, I listen to the AM-bands on weekends, mostly. And more policemen's unions and policemen are saying, I ain't going to grab them guns. I don't think so. So we are slowly winning. The tide is changing. But spot on with everything, but just stop and think about it. The criminal blames the victim of their crime for the crimes the criminal commits against them. That's what government does, because they can get away with it. Thank you all. I'll let you go.
All right, Jim, thank you. Appreciate your comments.
Well, I think this is why you see such strength in Donald Trump's numbers. I think people are, you know, they are waking up to the fact that there's something that's going on, regardless of, you know, how it's affecting them. And I think that's his, you know, he has been able to, it's almost like a bully. You know, people are tired and, you know, they... You know, he's straight talking to them. Yeah. You know, he's not using, you know, he's using their language. He's using their language to communicate.
Not just using their language. He's dealing with the issues that are on the general public's mind.
In their language.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
In
that
their
too.
Language.
And that too, yeah. Where the rest of them, they want to play patty cake about illegal immigrants.
And all most right? of the Trump Americans out there don't even have a clue. Space. Most of these politicians all talk like Alan Greenspan.
Yeah.
You know, nobody has a clue to what half of these politicians are saying, what they stand for, because they certainly don't stand for the Republican conservative that they used to.
Yeah, I understand.
You know?
Just
so,
like you
know,
were talking about the Republican Party, talked big about they were going to control the budget and Obamacare and a bunch of other things, and in the end they just backed down. All right,
that's how they all got elected.
From the bill and blah, blah, blah.
Look how they got elected 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all got elected by saying that, oh, we were going to stand up to Obama, and the next thing you know, they're all laying down, giving them fast-track authority for all these trade agreements. I mean, how can you believe any of them?
Yeah, I agree. How can you believe them? How can you support them? How can you take any pride in electing them? I mean, it really does boil down to the lesser of two or 20 evils. But it's pretty hard to find anybody who's just flat out telling you the truth and calling a spade a spade. Right? Trump apparently does that. I don't mean that I necessarily agree with everything Trump does, but it does look like... I'm not sure that Trump is really able to easily deceive the public. I don't doubt that he does at times. I don't mean that he's, you know, a sterling honest guy. But I think it's Trump's nature to simply say, here's what it is and take it or leave it. All right, I can kind of work with that. Even if I don't agree with what Trump comes down with, if he just puts it down there and says, here's what it is. But that's not what we get from Obama. That's not what we get from 90% of the rest of them. We get BS. We get smoke and mirrors. All right? And try to even identify this. Oh, no, they agree with everything you say. But they don't do what they say they agree with. You know, Jim, when we were talking to Jim, there was one point. There was a question that I kind of wanted to ask him, but at least it reminded me of something. And this, I'm going to pose this as a question, and I'd be very much surprised that anyone could answer it, because there's a multitude of answers that might be appropriate. But what is the highest, at least one of, perhaps the highest sign of civilization? All right? What is the hallmark of an advanced civilization? And from my perspective, it is respect for property rights. If one man owns a particular piece of land, you stay off unless you have his permission to be there. If one man owns a car, you don't steal it, because you respect his right to own that property. He earned it fair and square. He gets to own it. When we start taking people's money without their consent, and that's what government does, is they take your money, they take your wealth, they take your property. What they are doing inevitably, in the name of central control, in the name of helping some special interest, they say, this is so important that we should be allowed to disrespect your right of personal property. And when they do that, they show themselves to be a lower form of civilization, and arguably just a bunch of gangsters. That's what crime is all about. It's ultimately a violation of property rights. I'm going to take your car, I'm going to take your house, I'm going to take your kids, I'm going to take your life. All of that is evidence of people who don't respect the concept of property. And I don't think many people are aware of this to the same degree that, at least, I am. My awareness is growing. We understand this is something we've got to teach children, where they understand that this is somebody else's, and this is yours, and this is theirs. You can't just grab what you want and take, just say, that's mine. If you're going to do that, you are going to live in a society that degrades into something violent, lethal, deadly, right? Just as guns, the more guns, according to the evidence from The Economist, more guns actually reduce the number of gun deaths. Same thing with more property rights that are respected. And the government keeps on passing special laws where they can seize things without taking us to court. They've got civil forfeiture laws and stuff. What the heck is that other than outright theft and a complete disrespect of our right to keep and bear, well, to own property? Huh? They say, oh, we're the government. We have a good reason for taking your property, and we don't have time to drag you through the courts and rest of that and find out if our reason is good, bad, or indifferent. We're just going to take it, and too bad for you. It's up to you to prove that we shouldn't take it. It's all wrong, and it's evidence of a government and a civilization that would be America that is in a state of decline. You want a heightened form of freedom? You need a heightened and prosperity. You need greater respect for property rights. You say, okay, that belongs to somebody else. I can't take that. We have too many people who think they can take whatever it is they see, and they don't recognize that this is wrong, and as a result, we have a nation that's in a state of decline.
But is that the teaching of the youth that they're, you know, where just grab what you can for that instant gratification? So,
well, what's the whole idea behind entitlements?
Yeah.
We are convincing people, we are telling black people, for example, that you're entitled to have money given to you by somebody else. That is a disrespect to the property rights of the people who actually earn the money. I said, we're going to take your money and give it to these people. They're entitled.
Else.
Entitled by what? We teach people this notion of entitlement, and the result is they think that by virtue of the color of their skin, they're entitled to take whatever they can grab. The concept of entitlement, without respect for property rights, the concept of entitlement is conducive to a criminal mindset. I'm entitled because my skin is a particular color. That's all. I'm entitled. That means I get to be a crook. I get to take.
It's not even that anymore.
Property.
I mean, even color does not define.
No,
you know,
there's
who
more.
Gets
that's
it,
just
so
the
forth.
Most
there's
obvious.
Just, yeah. I don't know. Well, there's a lot. So.
But if you look at it from that perspective, you can see that. You know, you can start to think about it. The whole concept of entitlements is conducive to ignoring discarding, despising the idea of property rights, and ultimately just saying I'm entitled to anything I can see. I'm entitled to anything I can get away with. And that mentality is certainly true for a lot of people in public office, congressmen, senators, presidents. If I can get away with it, let's do it. You know, President Nixon, he said, your president is not a crook, but he also believed that if your president does it, that means it's constitutional. That was part of his argument. Obama's cut from the same cloth. He has no respect for property rights. Right? He's just going to take whatever he can lay hands on by means of executive orders and do with it as he pleases. And to heck with your property rights. Now, I'm not here to advocate. When I talk about property rights, I'm not simply talking about a very wealthy people can own masses of land and buildings and rest of that sort of thing. Your property rights, for me to respect your property rights, you've got to respect my property rights in my labor. I have the right to be reasonably compensated for my effort and that goes for everyone else. You are, insofar as we can use the word entitled, you are entitled to whatever you can earn honestly in the free market. But as soon as you start getting money that you didn't earn or getting paid more or less than you're really worth, your property rights aren't being respected. If you want this country to run on a basis that is conducive to liberty, freedom, justice, prosperity, you have to get hold of the idea and live by it that you are entitled to whatever it is you earn. You are not entitled to one dime that you didn't earn, nor are you obligated to pay for one thing that you didn't acquire, that you didn't receive. And government and central planning says, no, we believe in entitlements. We believe in ignoring property rights. We've got to have more power so we can do good deeds. You know, it would be a persuasive argument if the government did any good deeds. But what do they do? You know, I heard 5 years ago, maybe more, they had a contest. It was put on by the government. Name the program that's the best program that government has. There was something like a $10,000 reward to the winner who put up. There was one entry. There's only one person in the whole country that bothered to think, well, I think this is a good program. I think there's a lot of truth in that. We'll talk about it another day because we are out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.